we're going to do the third commandment. And I actually thought to myself, I've got the easiest because it's just simple. You know, don't take the God's name in vain. So I thought, this should be a snip. Let me just tell you, this was the most difficult message I have ever had to study. And it's going to be the most difficult message that I've ever had to give. Because I love doing character studies, mainly women in the Bible, and I like to draw parallels along them and find things that we can relate to. But this is not that simple. This is one of the Ten Commandments that God gave us as individuals and as a church. And I have found it really challenging. It's taken me way out of my comfort zone. And I've got a feeling that if I share this right, it will take you out of your comfort zone as well. Last week, I started off by telling you about the library that stopped having the playgroup, the Christian playgroup. So I thought I'd better start this week with something a little bit more encouraging from the news. So I was looking at my news things for yesterday and today, and I've got a question for you. Seeing as we're 50 years since the moon landing, what was the first food and drink that was ever taken on the moon? Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Think they know what it was. It wasn't pizza. No. Joy, you had your hand up first. What was it?
Bread and wine.
It was bread and wine. Isn't that encouraging? That Buzz Aldrin got up there and the first food and drink that was ever taken on the moon was communion. It was bread and wine. Isn't that fantastic? And I just wanted to share that because I thought that was really, really encouraging. And we're going to come back to that, if I remember, at the end. So let's put our next slide up, please. So this is the verse that we're going to be looking at today. And this is the third commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And normally we stop there. And this is the problem. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Wow. That is quite a statement to come after that one little thing. So why is God so concerned? Why has he put this only commandment that's got something that says there's a punishment for it? So I thought we'd better have a look at it. So I thought, well, it just means that we don't have to blaspheme, we don't swear, and we don't use God's name in a flippant way, including the thing that is all over social media at the moment, and not just young people use it, lots of OMG. You see it everywhere. You see it on T-shirts. You see it on all kinds of different things, posters. All these kinds of things are all over. And we see that all the time. And to be honest, as individuals and as churches, I think we've become very desensitized to the fact that this is everywhere. I'm also going to set you a challenge this week to try and find one program on the television, on any channel, including the children's channel, that doesn't have blaspheming in every single program of some description and at some level, even in the children's programs. So there's your challenge, whether it's online or on the television. And you'll see it's very difficult. Can I have my next slide up, please? This is what we see all the time. I remember growing up that if I heard somebody swearing around where I was, you know, there'd be a lot more of a stigma. In fact, it's actually illegal to swear. But that's something that's just by the by. We've just got so used to it. Now, I thought, well, this third commandment, you should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, should be pretty simple. All I have to do is stand here and tell you, you must not blaspheme. You must not use God's name in vain in any capacity in your life. And that should be it. I should be able to sit down now and say that's the end. But then when you look that it's the third commandment, and you look at what the first two commandments were, you shall have no other gods before me, and you shall have no other idols before me. Why should we not be surprised that the third one is going to be a whammy as well? And it really is. We only have to say, more often than not, we say the first part of that verse, do not take the Lord's name in vain. But not many of us would have even known about that second part of that commandment, about God's standing on that commandment. It's actually the most serious, and I would say the hardest of all the commandments, and we're going to see why. Hence the warning that God will not hold him faultless who does not keep this. So I thought the best thing to do is to break it down. We'll look at a couple of words in it, and then we'll just come to a conclusion. So let's have my next slide up there. So this is it. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So this is my first point, and the key here is that word, your. If you are claiming to be a Christian or a follower of Jesus, then you are claiming that the Lord is your God. You must keep the commandments. It's not an option. Because this isn't just about using God's name loosely. This is about living under the name or the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is like carrying his standards. It's about playing on God's team. It's about being in his family and representing his family. This is why this commandment is so serious. Because in everything you do and everything you say, if you are claiming that the Lord is your God, you are his ambassador on this earth. And that is quite a challenge for all of us. Because we all fail, don't we, so many times. We will find that exceptionally hard. So, what are the three most common things that people say next, Kerry? Have I not got another one before that? Well, one of the things is people say Jesus all the time. And we hear it. We hear it all the time, people saying that. So what does Jesus mean? Well, Jesus means saviour, rescuer. In fact, in Acts 4 and verse 12, it says, there is no other name under heaven by which you can be saved. And that's the name that they're using as a swear word. The next one we hear is Christ. What does that mean? Well, it means the atoned one, the anointed one, the Messiah, the chosen one, the expected one, the one that brings us salvation. That's what it means to us as his children. But that's been used as a swear word. What about the word God? We hear that all the time. Oh God, all the time. Well, that means creator, ruler of the universe, perfect in wisdom, in power, and in goodness. So then why as Christians are we not jumping out of our seat and becoming agitated every time we hear these words being mentioned over and over again? Here's some more examples. Saviour, counsellor, provider, friend, king, defender, healer. We claim all these things as his children. These are the names of God. But we find it very, very difficult. Now, I'm not saying that we should go around with big placards and make a big stink, but there are things that we should do. And we say, well, there's no point in saying anything because we can't stop them from saying it. They're just going to say it anyway. And to some degree, that's true. But we can say that we find it offensive. We can do it in love. We can say it in a kind way. Oh, do you know what? I'd rather you just didn't say that. That name's important to me. That's hard, isn't it? Very, very hard. But that's what we should be doing. Last week, week before last, I get some VIPs that I show around Shetland. And a couple of weeks ago, I had three. And the first thing that we do, we come along and I always say, this is a church, and explain who I am. And of course, by the time I get round here, people are either very interested, want to come in and have a look round, or they're not bothered, and that's fine. But at least I say who I am, and I sort of lay out you know, my beliefs sort of by saying, I'm the minister's wife here, I'm very proud to be here, I have a lovely church, da, da, da. I always butter you up well. And then I go up and show my beautiful manse up there, and they think, wow, that must be some church. You see, you think these things don't matter, but when I go up there and say, this is the manse to the church, they go, wow, your church must really like you. And I said, no, they had the manse before we came. But there you go. But one of the tourists that I had, the lady said to me, oh, we better watch them, we better not blaspheme if you're the minister's wife. And I went, oh, that'd be great, thank you. But what made me think was, first of all, that she knew I wouldn't like it. And secondly, she knew it was wrong. And I never said a word to her. She never said she'd had a church upbringing or anything like that. But I just thought, you knew that isn't something that I would appreciate. And that it wasn't the right thing to do. So let's look at our next word. Our next word is vain. What does vain mean? Don't take the name of your God in vain. Okay. Well, the meaning of vain, it actually means meaningless, unimportant, without significance, baseless, and of no value. What they are actually saying when they say Jesus and Christ and God so flippantly is Jesus is worthless. Christ has no significance. God is unimportant. And that puts a whole different level of what these people, it might be thoughtless the way they're saying it, but they're using that word without even thinking about it. And when we don't stand up and defend our Heavenly Father's name, this is what we're allowing people to say about our perfect Saviour. So then, the third commandment isn't as easy as we thought it was going to be. Because most of us here probably don't say God or Jesus or Christ or OMG. We're probably really good about that. But we still have a responsibility. So let's look at our next slide. You shall not take the name of your Lord. But if you actually go back to the original Hebrew, that word take isn't there. The real word that should be in there is you shall not carry the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So what does that mean then, take, carry? Well, this takes it from an individual, just by a thing we say, to a national and an international level. This is talking about groups of people, and it's talking about nations. In other words, don't do anything in his name that he has not asked you to do. This is what it's really meaning. Yeah, there's the blaspheming side, but this is the crunch of it all. You do not do anything in God's name that he has not asked you to do. And you think, like what? Doing ungodly things in his name or while you are bearing his name, claiming to be his child. And if you break this commandment, you will automatically break the other nine. Because this is the one that holds them all together. In other words, if you do something in your daily life and your daily walk, or you say something and claim that it is from God and it is not, then you are blaspheming. But we all mess up. We all make mistakes. We are God's ambassadors here on earth. We're his representatives. But we do get things wrong. God will not tolerate you claiming his name and privileges that come from being his child and then saying what you want, doing what you want, and thinking that God will always forgive me. And he does, and he will forgive you. But if you were constantly doing something that you know that is wrong and claiming that you are still his child, then it says he will not find you faultless. You will have to stand account for that. And that's pretty scary stuff. So, we must give us the next slide up, Kerry. The reason is that we are his representatives, and it's just like being in a football team. It's like being a boss or in a relationship or even being a nun. That was the grumpiest face I could find of a nun. In other words, It doesn't matter whether you do it in the name of religion, whether you're doing it in a workplace, whether you're in a team. If one person gets it wrong, the rest of the people feel the consequences. And you bring shame on your whole team, or on your old religion, or on your old workplace, or whatever it is that you do. So, if you just move on to the next slide, please, Kerry, as well. This bit here will not hold him guiltless. The Crusades in the medieval days onwards were done in God's name, but they were not done for winning people to Christ, but about reclaiming land and gaining power, murdering many in God's name. It's a shameful time in our history with the Crusades. Then you've got the act of the 9/11, all done in the name of God by a radical group of Muslims. Do you know, from that, the wave of hating God was greater than any other time. Because that act was done by this group of Muslims in the name of God. And God will not tolerate such an act. Now, none of us are planning a bombing raid or a terrorist act in God's name, I'm sure of that. But we are guilty of not always carrying, bearing, and uplifting the name of God in our language and in our lives. In fact, by not keeping the rest of the Ten Commandments, we break most of them. Just by our thoughts sometimes, we've talked about those over the weeks, just by the things that we think sometimes. You see, it's like a domino effect. If you break the first commandment, it knocks into the second commandment, then it knocks into the third commandment. So the first one, you shall have no other gods before me. But pride in us, that was the very first sin, pride, helps us break that so that self is first. We get up one morning, we think about ourselves. All through the day, we're thinking about ourselves. And some things are legitimate, some things aren't. But when we start doing that, then we go into number two, you shall have no other gods before me. So we become selfish. I love my partner, I love money, I love my job, I even love my kids more. I love everything more than God. It's all about me. And then when we do that, it knocks the next one down. Do not take the Lord your God's name in vain. I'll live my life as I please, I'll speak as I please, and I do as I please. I am God's child. I am his representative, but there's a lot of me. So if you just put the next slide up, please, Kerry. Yeah, there is judgment that comes with that, and there is accountability. And we should find confidence in that, not in fear. Because God will call account all those things that are not judged here fairly and rightly on earth. Sometimes we think there's no judgment here. Things are not dealt with properly. People are getting away with things. Do you know what? God is a God who is a perfect judge, and he will bring all those things to account. People will stand before him for the things that we've done. And so will we, but we are covered with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are his family, if we are his children, he looks down and he sees Jesus before he sees us. Isn't that wonderful? And the difference here is the willfully breaking the commandments and the seeking to please God are two different things. There are people who are willfully doing things in the name of God that are not right. But for us as his children, we have a responsibility to get to know the person we represent here on earth. And that is our Heavenly Father, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why prayer and Bible study and communion are so important to us. Because if we don't get to know the person that we're representing, we are going to make mistakes. We are going to make people turn away from God rather than love him. The responsibility lies with us. Yeah, these have been called the 10 love commandments. And they are love commandments. He gives us them because he loves us. And because he wants us to draw us to him through these commandments and get to know him better so that we can be better ambassadors for him on here. We have this wonderful thing called grace. And we sing it, don't we, so often, Amazing Grace. But my word, where would we be without it? Because keeping these commandments are impossible for us. But through God's grace and his mercy, and through getting to know our Heavenly Father in a much deeper way, we'll find that it's easier to, that it'll become much more natural to us. God's commands are because he wants the very best for us. And our responsibility is to make sure that relationship is strong through our prayer and getting to know him. Wisdom comes from God. And you'll be able to do amazing things when you seek him. Can you put our next slide up, Kerry, please? It's time to claim the name. What a challenge for us. It's time for us to claim the name. It's time for us to stand up and be counted and say, it's not a matter of, well, what make any difference what I do? Actually, it will. You're the representative of Jesus in your workplace. You're the representative of Jesus in your home. And wherever God puts you, wherever you are in the world, you are his representative. The amazing thing is that God sees our hearts and he knows our attitude. He says, draw close to me and I will draw close to you. So the third commandment is not just about saying the name of God in vain. It's about knowing him and about defending him and representing him. Can we just put that next? I don't know if we can read it, but this is a fantastic few verses. And it's very small. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. So you've got, do not bear false witness. And the truth is not in him. And whoever keeps his word in me, the love of God has truly been perfected. And that's what we want. We want that perfect love. And when we've got that perfect love of God in our lives, it will overflow and we will reach many people for Jesus. The one who says, I can't read that. He abides in him, ought himself to walk in the same way, in the same manner as he walked. In other words, if you're claiming to have Jesus in you, then you should be walking as he walked. You should be doing as he does. It's been quite a challenge, and I'm just going to go back to the first thing that I told you about Buzz Aldrin and having communion, the first bread and the first wine, first food on the moon. But he had a verse with him as well. And that verse was John chapter 15. And verse 5, and I thought, what a strange verse. And then I realised, and it's this, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And I thought, wow, what a verse, really. It just reminded us that I can't do anything. But if I abide in him and I realize how much that connection is, it's the same thing, the vine, the branches, it's all one thing, the representative. How healthy is the vine? Where does everything come from? It comes from the main stem and then out to the branches. And we are the branches. And what comes on the branches is fruit. And that's how people will know that we are different, that we are God's representative. It's by the fruit that we bear in the place that God puts us. It's quite a challenge, I know, and I've got to say I just found it fascinating, but I also found it exceptionally challenging. But I am so grateful that God is so abundantly gracious to us. But there is a responsibility that we have to be the representatives and the ambassadors that he's called us to be, more now than ever before. And I just pray that God will bless us and give us all that we need every single day as we try to live and serve him wherever he's put us. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these 10 commandments and for the depth that is in each of them. And Father, you know our hearts. You know that we want to serve you, that we want to represent you well. But Father, I just ask that you will just forgive us for the times that we let you down, the times that we tolerate bad language, the times that we listen to things that we know we shouldn't be listening to. for the times that we say things or do things claiming that it's in your name, however insignificant. Father, we ask for your forgiveness. We pray for our country too. We pray for our nation, Father, that it will be turned back to you and that you will use us, your servants, to win people and show people how much you love them and how much you care for them. Father, you've paid it all. You've done it all through the precious blood of Jesus. And we thank you that you see us, not as we see ourselves, but you see us through Jesus' precious blood. We can never say thank you enough. And it won't be until we see you face to face. And even then, I think, Father, we'll just be so speechless. So we ask that you will just fill us all afresh this morning, that you will challenge us anew, and that you will give us strength from yourself to live every day according to your will and your purpose. In Jesus' precious name.